Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Welcome back. Moolala Money Made Simple is brought to you in part by Credit Canada. I am the CEO of the organization, and we are Canada's longest standing nonprofit credit counseling agency. Our mission is to help people get out of debt so they can get back into life. Listen, debt is a brutal reality for millions of Canadians. It starts to pile on for lots and lots of different reasons: job loss, divorce, illness, bad luck, you name it. Our accredited credit counselors are available to help you understand your current financial situation and take you through all your options on how to move forward. And there really are options out there. So go to creditcanada.com. We are nonprofit. As I said, the counseling is free and judgment free. We are all vulnerable to fraud, to identity theft, to all those horrendous stories. I actually have personal experience of having gone through a pretty horrendous experience. I'm going to start that again. We are all vulnerable to identity theft and fraud, and I now have personal experience of what that looks like, what that feels like, and the steps one needs to take to rectify the situation. But there are things you can do to reduce the risk of it happening to you. And a recent survey from Equifax shows that Canadians are actually fighting back and taking more steps than they have ever done in the past. To talk about this survey and to share some of her tips on addressing this pervasive problem is Julie Kuzmic. She is the Senior Compliance Officer, Consumer Advocacy at Equifax Canada. She's in Guelph, Ontario. Hello there.
Hello, Bruce. Good to see you.
Well, I love that we're talking about fraud. Hooray for that. You and I can have fun with anything. What surprised you about the results of the survey that we're going to be talking about? Because there's some stuff that's head noddingly, yeah, of course, that makes sense. What surprised you?
I'm happy to see that more people are paying attention to fraud and recognizing that this is an issue that can affect any one of us. I mean, for heaven's sake, Bruce, if it happened to you, what hope do the rest of us have? Yeah. So that's a really important thing, that we're seeing a decrease in the number of Canadians who are responding to survey questions saying things like, fraud is unlikely to happen to me, or identity theft is unlikely to happen to me. But here's something I find really interesting that is a response we've seen similar to last year, which is the number of people who believe that the government needs to do a better job educating us, the people, about fraud and identity theft. So we see a resounding 86% of people agreeing with that statement in the survey we recently ran. Last year, it was 83%. So pretty similar numbers. And I'm really excited to bounce this off you, because few people know about financial literacy and how to educate Canadians about it more than you, or even on par with you. And here's what I'm wondering about this. I'm wondering if there might be a disconnect between what people think they need, which is we need our government to educate us more, and what they actually will respond to. There's a really interesting story that I've heard about McDonald's, actually, fast food. Sometime in the last 10 years or so, they were doing a lot of surveying of populations to see what people wanted to see on the menu. And they found an overwhelming majority of people are asking for salads on the menu. So McDonald's rolled out a number of different salad options. And they found that those same people who were asking for it and saying that they would buy salads from McDonald's were not actually doing that when they found themselves.
Burger and fries. I want a burger and fries.
Right. And I may or may not be able to relate to that future me would prefer if I'd eaten a salad, but current me would really like something a little more meaty and cheesy. So I wonder if there might be a similar sort of human nature thing going on here, where people feel like our government really needs to be warning us about this, but do people even really pay attention? when governments are warning us about things like that?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And I think the simple answer is no. And what works on, interventions is maybe some knowledge, but more the behavioral nudges that governments and institutions can enact. We see that in smoking. I think we see that in fraud. It reminds me of the old line that we should be doing more on financial literacy in schools. And people this, universal belief that that's going to be the big difference maker. And there is a lot of financial literacy that happens in schools, and even in areas where it is completely ingrained in part of the curriculum, in the curriculum, we realize the shortcomings of knowledge because it more comes down to behavior, right?
Well, one of my favorite lines is that if knowledge led to action, then wouldn't we all be thin and fit?
Yes, we would. Okay, so just bringing it back to fraud here, one of the things that your survey looked at is the common steps, like the things that we kind of know to do. What's Canadians' understanding of the things that we know to do? Do they know the basics?
We are seeing quite a number of people responding that they take two or more of steps, like changing their passwords often, making sure that they're using strong passwords in the first place, carefully disposing of their documents, because of course, often people think about fraud as being a very technical, internet-based situation, and people sometimes develop a false sense of confidence that, well, I know not to click on any fraudulent links. I'm not going to fall for that. I'm not answering those potentially fraudulent calls. But people sometimes forget that fraudsters will take the easiest path. If they find your unshredded Visa bill or your bank account statement sitting in your recycling bin, then that's a gold mine for them to try to use your good credit history in order to apply for new credit in your name.
One of the areas in which I think it's fair to say our understanding is limited is on social media. So we know not to, we know that we can't put something into the recycling bin that has personal information. We have a much lower standard for what we put out on social media. And one of the things your survey looks at is sharing less on social media. What does less mean? Is it less quantity? Is it fewer details? What does that mean?
Well, those are really interesting aspects to dig into. Now, our survey didn't go as far as asking a secondary question around what are you sharing less of? But we did introduce a new question this year with a fascinating response, which was asking people, which social media platforms do you feel have the most potential for fraud and identity theft? And then we named all the social media platforms we could think of. And there were some in here that I haven't even heard of because I guess I'm a bit too old. But luckily we had younger, more hip people putting together this particular question. Facebook was far and away the one that people feel has the most potential for fraud or identity theft. The answer for the people choosing that one, it was 6 times greater than people choosing any of the other ones, your Instagram, TikTok, WhatsApp, Twitter, all of those other ones. So isn't that interesting, that perception around Facebook specifically?
Yeah. So there are common steps. There are some additional steps, and sharing less on social media is one. Another one is two-step password authentication. How common is that? Are people doing a better job on that?
Yeah, now I was pleasantly surprised to see a majority of people saying that they would rather do business with an organization online that is using two-step authentication. So that's where you're receiving the PIN by SMS to your cell phone or to your mobile device or email. Now, we were expecting to hear from people that that is considered extra friction. It takes longer to get into the account that you're trying to log into. We were quite surprised to find that a lot of people actually take comfort in that, and they see that as an organization being responsible and being and using a very robust form of protecting their own personal information.
Julie, I found in my case, the identity theft when I looked at my credit score and ta-da, it had plummeted precipitously. So that was my indication. Do you think enough people are doing that basic due diligence check?
We're happy to see that more people are checking, and I would really focus on the credit report more than the credit score. But what a good first indicator that was clearly in your case. Well, wait a minute, why has the score gone down so much? Which obviously then triggered you to take a look at the information on your credit report. We only saw about half of the respondents saying that that is something that they are doing regularly. And that's something that I absolutely encourage everyone to do. You can see your credit report for free online at both the major Canadian credit bureaus, which are Equifax and TransUnion. And even at Equifax, you can actually see your score for free online as well, no matter where you live in Canada. And for people who want to be able to monitor that, if you create a free account, that'll get updated on a monthly basis. So you can continue to see those updates. If somebody needs a little more peace of mind, or maybe they need to do a little more in-depth monitoring, there are other options that can cost some money. But there are a lot of different opportunities out there for people to keep that eye on their credit reports, which is such an important thing to do.
Just before we go here, I want to make sure that we talk about best practices on passwords. And I bet you're going to tell me that mom's maiden name is not the gold standard.
It's not advised. It's also not your social insurance number. Wouldn't recommend that one either. Unique and strong passwords. And those are the ones that don't have any words in them. It's a combination of letters and numbers and special characters. I got a great tip once about a way of doing that and actually remembering the password. And that is to think of a phrase and use the first letter of each word of the phrase. So I'm going to use Equifax's tagline, which is helping people live their financial best. So that would be HPLTFB, the beginning letter of each one of those words, so that it would be easy for me to remember because I know the phrase, and then I can just key in the first letter of each one of the words. So just a random little tip there for anyone looking for a way of remembering a password.
And a great way to access the Julie Kuzmic online banking portal. So super helpful. You heard it here first.
I'll be posting my social insurance number online shortly.
Very helpful. You know, I mean, I think we could have this conversation every single day, and we might not be having it enough. It's not so much for the government to have, but for people like you and I to have, because we've got the audience and hopefully people are listening to what we say and will take some actions in order to reduce the risk of fraud. Julie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on for this important discussion.
Julie Kuzmic is Senior Compliance Officer, Consumer Advocacy at Equifax Canada.
Hi, it's me, your debt. Look, we need to talk. This isn't working. The missed payments, the collection calls, and all those sleepless nights. We need nonprofit debt counseling, and I found the perfect place. Credit Canada Debt Solutions. They're non-judgmental, 100% confidential. They'll negotiate with creditors and even stop interest. Don't you want to rebuild your credit? You deserve better.
Break up with debt. Visit creditcanada.com.